Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it, Asbury Park style. Well, it's Thursday, and unfortunately, it had a little rain again. I don't know what's going on with the rain, but I guess we need it for our flowers that are coming. Tonight, with no further ado, I want to introduce my guest to you, who I'm very happy to have on my show. Her name is Jennifer Perkle, and she is the owner of Here, H-E-A-R, Here, H-E-R-E, LLC. And so on her Facebook page, it says small business owner, but I believe that she's a big business owner because she has I'll finish the promo. She does social media content creator, and she's an event organizer, and she does promotion as well. And probably a lot more, as you will find out in this interview. What I want to say about Jennifer is that she has a fabulous farmer's market. And the reason I got in touch with her, and forgive my hoarseness, as you know, I get hoarse once in a while. I love Seabright. I always go up to the Seabright Beach and like to walk even in the winter. And she does a farmer's market there, but she does three others. And I like my guests to tell their own stories. But before that happens, I have a few questions that I like to ask my guests. And it's a surprise for Jennifer because she's never been on my show, so she doesn't know what they are. But really, they're fine. I think you'll like them. Okay, so my first question is, who influenced you the most while you were growing up, and why?
Wow, that's a great question, Nancy. I have to laugh before this. Is it okay for me to say his whole name?
Absolutely. Whatever you feel like doing. Yeah. As long as you have your volume all the way up. Where's my volume? I want to make sure my volume is up because I don't know if it. Yeah, it's on 100. Okay, we're all good to go.
Okay,
yeah, go
cool.
Right ahead.
So I was a musician from the time I was in third grade, and it was my high school band director, Robert F. Pereca at Edison High School, class of 1990. He said, so Jennifer, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, well, I'm going to be a music teacher. And he said, you can't be a music teacher. You don't even own your own instrument. And I looked at him. And I said, I'm going to be a music teacher. And I have to tell you, the only college I applied to was the one that he went to. And when I got accepted, I took my diploma in a frame and I UPSed it to the school so he would open it in front of me. So the person who influenced me the most was the most influential person in my life at the time. You know, you spend so much time devoting to music, the band director becomes like he's the god with the lowercase g. And,
right.
Yeah, I took a lot of stock in what he said, and he told me I couldn't do something, and I was hell-bent on absolutely getting it done.
Right. Yeah, I'm like that, too. If somebody says you can't do it, I go, oh, yes, I can. Just
oh,
watch
yeah,
me.
Don't tell me I can't.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, that's awesome. That is really awesome. And I was a very, you know, since I'm a musician, I was very impressed with that too. And all the, you know, being a music teacher is a big deal to me. I only taught, my brother taught me my first four chords on the guitar when I was 17. And when you said, you know, 1994, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old. But anyway, And my brother taught me, and then I taught my sister, one of my sisters. She wanted, and she's a great singer as well. My mother was a singer, but I taught her the first four chords on a guitar. In fact, we went to Russo's in Asbury Park and bought two identical. I have like five guitars, but I wanted another guitar. So we bought two beautiful Yamaha electric acoustics. And anyway, I don't want to get too far into that. But okay, my second question is, where did you grow up? Where were you born and where did you grow up?
I grew up most of my. I'm sorry.
You said
most of my
time school, but
yes. Well, most of my childhood was spent in Edison, New Jersey, and I went to elementary school there, went to middle school, went to high school there. That's where, if I could say many of my childhood friends, that's where they're from Edison. And I also spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house in New Brunswick.
Okay, okay. I know where New Brunswick is. Well, I lived up in Weehawken, actually, because right off the Hudson River, I had a beautiful view of New York City because I went there to work in Manhattan. But I don't think I've ever been in Edison, but there's a lot of little towns everywhere and little cities all everywhere in New Jersey that I haven't been to. I grew up at the Jersey Shore in Asbury Park and Elmhurst, and I kind of spent my entire life till I left for San Diego. So I didn't travel. I know where New Brunswick is, though. But anyway.
Yeah, New Brunswick is called the Hub City, and it is now Robert Wood Johnsonville. It's where Johnson & Johnson headquarters are. It's Rutgers University and where I went, Mason Gross.
Well, that is why I went to Edison. And because you just answered me the question, because I'm thinking, why did you, wait, that's in Edison or New Brunswick? New Brunswick. Yeah.
New Brunswick,
well, I went to New Brunswick
City.
But I got to New Jersey because I went to Robert Wood Johnson Hospital. And so I was in New Brunswick, but I also, when I was in California, I met a guy that became my boyfriend, and he was from New Brunswick.
Edison is a great guy.
I said, I'll never date an Irishman. Never. I told you this is laid back, and it is. I said, I will never die because I'm not German, Austrian, but like I just knew I had too many brothers that were Irish, and my dad was Archie Bunker, and I go, oh no, thank you, no, I don't want to do that. But I did. He was totally Irish. When I went to Ireland, there was a pub called Donnie Toner's. That was his last name, Toner. And he was totally Irish, but he was a black Irish. I said, oh, I don't think I can go out with you. You're a black Irish. He had black, wavy hair and blue eyes. And I said, also, you're 10 years younger than me. He goes, I don't care. You're gorgeous. So anyway, we dated for quite a while. But anyway, getting back to you, you answered my question, which was the next question, was going to be, it has music with a big question mark. But I can also expound on that because I want to find out, like, how long you taught music and then what, you know, what got you into doing what you're doing today?
Let's start out with music. So yeah. I started my musical career in third grade, and I was a violinist. I loved playing the violin. I had to beg and cry to get a rental violin in third grade. Finally, my parents gave in. And I played violin all the way up until I got to middle school. So middle school, my mother had informed me that her cousin Margie's future husband's brother is Bobby Muckin. Now, Bobby Muckin played with, now it's just escaping my brain, who Southside Johnny, that's who it was. So he played trumpet with Southside Johnny back in the day.
Okay.
And my mother said it would be a good idea if I wanted to take a band instrument and I could take lessons with Margie's future husband's brother, Bobby.
Okay.
So I started at trombone lessons. And then I decided the trombone wasn't for me. I don't know. I just couldn't do it. So
right.
I ended up playing saxophone through junior high and then into high school. And fast forward through the end of high school, I played trombone 4 years in marching band. And I got quite a bit of experience. I got into college playing trombone. And yeah, it was interesting. And so then I had taken a little bit of time off. I decided, hey, listen, I met this guy. I'm going to get married. We're going to move. And I went back to school after we got married and finally graduated with a degree in music education with a major in violin.
Awesome.
So I was back and forth a little bit between a lot of instruments. And then I started teaching at Newark Community School of the Arts, and I was a teacher of several of the programs there, from Music Together, which is they would bus in daycare students, and I would teach group singing music classes. Did that for a few years. I worked for Music Minus One up in Elmsford, New York. I did a lot of musical things, but teaching was always at the center of where. Teaching was always at the center of where I wanted to be.
That's awesome.
So
I have. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so fast forward a few years after being married and raising my son.
I want to talk about music for another few minutes. When you mentioned the violin, I was asked at a certain age by my dad. He would always give us this option. What would you like to do, Nancy, like as far as a paid, you know, something like a hobby or whatever that you love? And I wanted to play the piano. So I wanted to ice skate, and I chose ice skating. But then in later years, after I was became a troubadour in New Jersey at 17, and everybody knew me as a singer-songwriter, a guitar player, and then I became a record producer. Everybody knows that anyway. But the thing is, there was a time I had a boyfriend. They owned the biggest music store in Union City, New Jersey. And he toured with a lot of iconic bands. And I told him, I really, since I was playing guitar for so long, and I had interest in, I played dulcimer as well. I wanted to play violin. I always loved, maybe it's in my Irish blood, I don't know what it is. I always wanted to play the violin. And I thought, well, if I'm playing a string instrument anyway, I'll be able to pick that up easy. Oh, no, that's not how it works. But so my friend said, let me go downstairs. I think we have my grandfather's violin. Nobody uses it. It's just in the case sitting there. You can have it. And he brought me up, I swear to God, he brought me up a violin. And inside of it, it said Stradivarius.
Oh, yeah, they all say that.
Oh, they do? Oh, then I don't feel so
bad.
Yeah,
the Stradivarius.
To him when I broke up with him, he goes, no, you can have it. And I go, well, I think these are very valuable.
Stradivarius violin is just the particular shape, the particular style, copy of a maker.
I'm there. I was misinformed on that one. Okay, let's continue about what you were going to tell me about your son. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Hey, if you ever want to get back to the violin, you just let me know.
Yeah, maybe I will. You never know.
So fast forward into my teaching in a few different schools and in public school and private school. I taught at Rumson Country Day for a while, so had an opportunity to meet a lot of rich and famous people. Immediately after that, I went back to teaching at Newark. So I've taught in a lot of schools over the last few years until finally COVID came. And that March 13th, they told us over the PA, everybody take everything that you're going to need for the next 2 weeks and leave, and we'll let you know what to do next. And after that school year, I taught for another year.
Do you remember what year COVID hit? I'm just curious because I said 2020. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
And then in September of 2021, I said, you know what? I'm not doing this teaching thing anymore. I'm having too much fun doing some other things, and decided to quit my job and really really own the LLC, really work with the LLC that I created during COVID.
Right.
So July of 21, I created this LLC called Here Here, and I became market manager for one farmer's market. And I did that only because I enjoyed so much going to farmer's markets and seeing, you know, during COVID, everybody reinvented themselves and they all decided they can make soap or make jewelry or make candles. And all mm-hmm. these people, all my friends were going to farmer's markets and craft shows and selling what they made. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to negotiate with local towns and venues and see if I can create a market, a place for them to sell their stuff. And that's what I did.
It's very lucrative business. I have been interested in that since I'm a child because my mother, way before people were, when we moved over to Allenhurst, I mean, people were putting things out putting them away, antiques. They were just get new furniture and just put them out and weren't interested. And my mother was collecting antiques. I got into the antique business when I was 18 years old. I was in the antique business for 2 years. And my first purchase was on the street. I was driving past this people and they had a big truck and there was a secretary desk on the thing and they were shutting the door. And I said, what are you doing? You're leaving that secretary desk there? And they said, yes. And I said, oh no. I want to, will you wait for me? Pay you to wait for me. And I came back. I said, let me go get, and I got a truck from my dad. And I went and I got that truck that I got somebody to help me get the secretary desk. I have it still to this day. It was in my, now. And I refinished it myself. And it's beautiful. It's not mahogany. It's like a red color with a little black. And it's just very art deco, but it's a secretary desk. Anyway, I have been going to flea markets and secondhand stores my entire life. And I had a pretty good antique business for a while. And when I moved to San Diego, I had a dealer come in at 6 in the morning and buy all the antiques I had because I had my whole house was furnished in antiques, and I mean antiques, antique everything, antique toaster, antique where you open the flaps out, antique meat grinder. I had it all. I mean, it was like unbelievable. So I love it. I just love it. So that drew me to you as well. Anyway, so it's about you. So let's go on, and I'm going to be coming getting involved in your farmer's market. So
yes, I know.
And actually, I thought of it over the weekend, and I haven't really talked to but I have a niece who is actually a biochemist, and I won't give any names out right now because I haven't even talked to her yet. But she bought a farm a few years ago, and she has an organic farm. So I was going to tell her about you because I think she would be extremely. Oh. She might be, and she might not be, too. But who knows? You never know, you know. Maybe I'll
very
work.
Cool.
You know, maybe I'll work because everything's organic. Oh, they have chickens and ducks. It's open, you know, to everybody can come. They bring their children there. It's unbelievable. And that's all I want to say about her for now. And I'll probably do a show for her if after I talk to her. She's a busy girl because she is an active biochemist, and she's very, very busy with that in addition to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
The farm is a big deal where you have chickens, ducks, roosters, and every vegetable, all organic vegetables and flowers, and it's intense. It's beautiful. But anyway, I'm very proud of her. And so go ahead now.
Excellent.
I just love it. You know, my friend, I'll give a shout out for Beverly Beverage because Beverly I had a meeting with, and she's the one that told me about you.
Awesome.
I said, I want a meeting with you because I've been making for free and giving them away, you know. Well, I didn't really want to get into this, so I'm not going to. When I decide to do this, I'll put a post up for myself. I'm not going to do a show for myself. I'll just put a post up on my pages and on some other pages and just promote you again, the farmer's market and see if that's the
thank you.
Yeah, that's
great.
What I'll do. Yeah, and I'll do a show for my niece if she's interested. And but anyway, I know they're very busy in the season, you know, because they, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll have their cousin, who, somebody else do it for them. But anyway, getting back to you, I think it's awesome because just tell everyone, like, you already, now you're managing, I think, 3 farmers markets. So tell everybody, like, where they are.
So I am organizing, which means being responsible for coordinating all the vendors. So I'm organizing 3 farmers markets. One of them is in Howell. That's a brand new one for me this year. The farmers market is not brand new, but I'm new to being the market manager. So the Howell Farmers Market takes place on Sundays at Echo Lake Park in Howell, New Jersey. So it's on this big, long road through lots of beautiful farmland in a pretty little park with a little lake that I keep referring to as Crystal Lake, but it's called Echo Lake.
Okay.
But it's very pretty. We have a farmer, we have a honey person, we have pickle guy, we have curated
Wonderful.
Artisans and crafters. So that's Sundays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I also organize and manage the Seabright Farmers Market. And Seabright Farmers Market is kind of cool because right now we're an indoor farmers market. That takes place mm-hmm. on Wednesdays from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that's at the old Borough Hall building at 1167 Ocean Ave. So it's right across from Donovan's. If you're old school Seabright, it's across from Andy Kay's.
Mm-hmm.
But Seabright Farmers Market is really neat because the borough was kind enough to give us use of it's kind of like an old elementary school gym. It's about that size. So we have the market indoors right now.
That's great.
And we'll go outdoors the beginning of June. And the third farmers market is the Matawan Farmers Market. Matawan Farmers Market is on Fridays from 1 p.m. till 6 p.m. And that one doesn't start until beginning of June. First day is June 7th. And that is at 201 Broad Street. And it's right in front of the municipal building. I think it's called Jeremiah Horahan Park. So it's in that little L-shaped park in front of Borough Hall, in front of the police station. And we have, I'm going to call it the usual suspects. We have a great farmer, local farmer. We have the honey people. We have the pickle guy. We have a number of cottage bakers. We have a couple local businesses that participate. So it's really nice. All 3 markets are really, really nice community gathering places.
Right.
There's music at each market, and sometimes people just come, they look around what's there. Maybe they buy, maybe they don't. Maybe they shop a lot, and then they kind of just congregate and walk and talk to each other.
Right, nice.
So it's really nice to see the community participating.
Right, definitely. When I was in San Diego, I was making, since I am an avid, I learned how to crochet and knit. My mother taught me. My mother was a tailor. She had her own business on the side of having 7 children. I don't know how she ever did it. I really don't. But she even made a wedding dress for my brother's wives. She made like for one wedding, she made 12 bridesmaids dresses, pink satin, like fuchsia satin. My mother was like, I couldn't sew a button on if you paid me. I mean, I'm getting better. I practiced. I sewed some things by hand. I bought a miniature sewing machine, but I haven't used it yet. But in any case, my mom taught me how to, and I really don't like to knit that much, but I do love crocheting. And I started this radio show, of course, to promote not-for-profits in the state of New Jersey, and my second mm-hmm. not-for-profit, Minister Steve Brigham of Tent City. But I made 17, they're like a love seat size, so it's like a, they're big enough for a person to use as a blanket on a full-size bed, mm-hmm. and even maybe even a queen. But anyway, I made 17 for the homeless And they're just beautiful, and each one was different for the veterans I'm in. But in California, I went to the Del Mar. Del Mar was a very ritzy, ritzy area near La Jolla, right out next to it. It's probably, it's even more ritzy than you go inland and you're in Rancho Santa Fe. But I participated in that farmer's market for quite a while, and it was awesome. So I do have experience at farmer's markets, and I always loved them. And I would always end up buying. That's what I do, too. I go and I go and then I end up, okay, well, I guess I spent my profits. Anyway.
Yeah, but, I do that a lot.
I did very well with my, even in California, with a beautiful fancy scarves, and the Westin Hotel wanted to sell them, but I want to get off of me again. I have a tendency of sometimes, I get very excited when I do my show, and I've been around a long time, but I'm sitting here looking at all the beautiful baby blankets that I have made. And they're Ryan Rocks originals. Like, so there's not that's one of it. They're all one of a kind, which is makes it to me very special. So anyway, you'll be seeing those. That's all I'll say about
Excellent.
That for now. So getting back to you, I want to ask you some more questions.
Sure.
And I want you to just continue on. I think it's so, my question after you telling me everything that you do is how do you do it all? Like, do you have employees? How do you manage all of this? This seems very involved.
You know,
money.
I'm
doing three.
I really
separate.
Do wish. I wish I had employees, but I am admittedly a bit of a control freak. Yeah, I think it comes from being a teacher. Like, don't worry, sweetheart, I'll just do it. And being a mom, too, which might not be that great to say it like that. But, yeah, I do a lot of it myself. So because I'm the owner of Here, I have tons of responsibilities. So not just providing the vendors for the farmers market, but to physically go to the market. So, for example, I had a new vendor this past Wednesday, and he was kind of a big dude, and he had these two huge coolers, and he turns to me, he goes, is somebody going to help me with these coolers? Well, who usually helps you? And he said, well, I usually just find somebody at the market to help me. And I said, I'll do it. So I ended up helping with him these huge coolers, and I'm old and I'm fat and I'm like out of shape, and I'm like, dude, where are we going with these? So we're helping. I help him with the coolers, but when we're in the outdoor season, I'm also. It's kind of funny because I'm not in shape to be hefting a couple, like 150. There could have been a body in that cooler. And it felt like there was. It was heavy.
Not women.
But I'm not.
No, that's
you know,
crazy.
I'm a lot
that's
on
crazy.
The. It
Did
was
you
crazy.
That? Did you say thank you?
Well, I recruited somebody else. I said, they got to be lighter now. Find someone else to help you. Put them back in the truck.
Yeah.
I mean, there were only two,
You know, you're really lucky you didn't hurt yourself because, you know,
I know.
I'm so careful. I'm so careful because, no, thank you. Nope. No. Anyway,
when I put up canopies during the summer and help people with tables, and I direct traffic, and it's funny, last year, I organized the Keyport Farmers Market, and it was in a parking lot. And even though the parking lot was coned off, people would occasionally drive through because they just want to look at what's happening. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? I have stood in front of a car before, put my fist on the hood, and said, you need to back out of here. You can't drive through the market. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
It surprises me sometimes. I'm lucky that I'm not doing anything in Keyport anymore because that market was like, it was difficult trying to keep the cars out of the parking lot, even though it was coned off. But you know. Well, yeah, I do a lot of things. I'm responsible for the social media.
When you said you're a bit of a control freak, you could say that I'm extremely talented, and I hope, then again, that sounds very conceited, doesn't it? I am capable of doing everything myself. You know what my dog used to say, one of his favorite things? This is what he would say to all of us. If you want something done the right way, if you want it done the right way, do it yourself. But then again, it's like, you know, like I have friends that own businesses, lots of, you know, the owners of these businesses, and they have to have employees. And, well, I was in office facilities management, so I had people under me. I was a manager, so I had a lot of people that had to kind of answer to me. But I was, and I was hard because I went to parochial school my whole life, and they just, it's like, get done. I don't want to hear anything. I just, this is it. This is what you have to do. This is the way you do it. If you need any help, come and see me. But it's like told Nancy, you have to learn how to have a little finesse here. And, like, you need to build relationships with the people that you work with. That came from the higher-ups. And I got a call, and I go, oh, now what did I do? Because I was always getting in trouble, you know. But they loved me because I was so efficient. And I was manager. Like, I was a manager of church facilities manager for several large companies in California. So that was awesome. And I have so much responsibility. But I go, bring it on. See, I think it's a challenge. So I don't say I'm a control, even though I am. I don't say I'm a control freak unless I have to. But admit it, like, to somebody, if they go, you know, Nancy, really? Then I have to go, yeah, I guess I have to work on that.
Yeah. I mean, I want things done a certain way because it represents my brand. And exactly. I have seen people screw things up royally before. And not that I don't make mistakes as well, but, you know, I've seen people do some pretty stupid things. And I don't want my brand represented that way. So, I do a lot of it myself.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit. You know, maybe I'll say I'm headstrong instead, or I know what I want, and I know I'm very clear on what my vision, and I think that that's probably a nice way to say it, like what you've done with your life. You were very clear, knew what you wanted from a young age, and you have known all along through you've made your decisions, and I'm going to do this, and that's the way it is. And I'm like that, too. Like, once I get an idea, and I have many of them, I usually follow through, except for my book. I'm not following very through with that because I'm always find a reason not to do it. But I have a tape recorder out because I don't want to write it down. I'll write a song, but I don't want to write a book. I want to dictate it and then have a transcriber do it, transcribe it and edit it. I'm paying to do that. I don't want to do that. So anyway, I'm just amazed at your success. And, you know, and what you've done. And, like, how old, I'm going to ask you some personal questions. You can ask them or not, but, like,
sure.
How many children do you have?
I have one amazing son. He'll be 24 at the end of this month. He just graduated college. He is super smart. Like,
his mommy.
He does things. he thinks of things that I could never imagine. He has, so I've been divorced for 13 years now and was married to his dad for 17 years. And so my kid has the math and logic smarts of his dad, which are amazing. And he has my son has my willfulness and determination. That kid is forced to be reckoned with. He is he's a mechanical engineer, a graduate of Drexel University in Philly.
Wonderful.
And he's had his own apartment, his own job since he went to school 6 years ago. And he's just doing amazing things. I go down and visit him. He has a great sense of humor, and his wit is kind of like mine. It's as dry as the desert.
But I love him a million times because he is just, he's an awesome kid. I can't say enough good things about him. Every parent thinks their kid is awesome.
He sounds like he got the best of both of you. I really connected with you on so many different levels, and I think we are. Beverly was right on to you're the only person that she recommended to me. She said, "Oh, she told me your name. Your contact."
Well, thanks,
and that's after our meeting. She said, "Let me think about it, Nancy, because we had a really nice meeting at Barnes and Noble. We like to meet there because they have a Starbucks inside, and we had a lovely meeting. And you know, she's been, we have a similar background because she was in radio for so many years, and then she, oh my gosh, so many things. And now she's, she comes to your, she's involved with you with the Barefoot Sandal, New Jersey Barefoot Sandals. I'll give her a shout out. And we've been friends for a very long time now. And we have a lot in common. And I like that about the, the determination. It's like you're not going to give up. You're just very persistent and very determined. And when you have a vision, you get it done, and that's it. And it's a really good quality. I think you either have that or you don't have it. You know, a lot of people never know what they want to do. I know exactly what I want to do, and I usually want to do it alone, to tell you the truth. I've always been like that, very independent. And then
awesome.
If I make a mistake, I suffer the consequences. But I have not had that many consequences, I don't think. I'm still doing
well. That's a good thing.
And I'm still very active. And I've been retired forever. So it's not retirement because I'm as busy now as when I worked. It's not more so because I have more projects I want to do. I always am thinking of something different I want to do or new I want to do, where I want to go. And, just like.
I always say that I'm retired with the parentheses around the re. I always say that I'm retired, but with the parentheses around the re, because it just means I was tired of the last thing I was doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, from music. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's nice. Very fortunate that I was able to, retire when I did, young, but don't have to worry about that. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make living. I don't have to do that anymore. And I must admit that I like it. I like it a lot. And but I was supposed to be in Nashville, go back to Nashville. I was invited to sing again at the biggest club, the Commodore. But I'm not going back. I changed that. I can be kind of I thought, I have a different objective. I haven't been back to California in so long or been to Portland. I need to go visit my daughters. I haven't seen them in a while, and they have families. They don't travel a lot. They're both working and they're busy, and they just can't take off, when they have responsibilities like that. So I'm the one that has to go. I have to get on the plane.
Yeah.
I love to travel anyway.
I find myself going down to Philly maybe once every 10 or 15 days just to go have lunch. I'll drive an hour and a half down there, have lunch, and come back.
Well, my mom was born. My mother
my
was
kid.
Born in Germantown, in Philadelphia. My mom in Germantown. I have idea where. All I know about Philadelphia is when I drove back when I was 58 years old. I drove from California, San Diego, to New Jersey. I bought a new car, brand new car. I got rid of my sports car, and I got a very economical vehicle that, wouldn't cost me a lot of money because I'm a practical chick. And I go, well, I'm going to retire at 58, so I better be more practical. And, I was always practical online. Somebody said to me once, I would tell them, when I opened my purse, they said, do moths fly out? And I said, probably. But I'm just I've always been very practical. It's like if I see something I want I get it. I pick it up and I go, do you really need this, Nancy? No, you don't. You have enough clothes for 10 women. Put it back. So I do. But anyway, getting back to, I'm so excited for you, and I'm excited to meet you in person. I was hoping I might be able to see you the 24th of this month, but I'm going to postpone it, I think, until the outdoor, until June, because I have some things I want to prepare before I come, and I'm waiting. My call from Nashville was having to do with some things that I want to have with me, so I think I'm going to postpone. But, you know, it's nice to be, even though you have the vision, I think flexibility is very important, too, like when it comes to everything. And I've worked on that a lot. I've had to work on that a lot because I was never really flexible. I was kind of like rigid. I don't know about you, but like when you have a structured mind and you have a, I think I have an engineered mind, and you have a certain vision, it's hard sometimes to go, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be flexible on that and just go 180 degrees. Well, I'm still working on trying to. Go ahead.
After 32 years of teaching, when you deal with all of those variables, and kids are variables, you have to learn to be flexible. So, hey, if something doesn't work out one way, you got to problem solve. Fix it. You got to figure it out. And I sometimes utter those words to myself several times a day. Jen, figure your shit out. And I do, and I figure it out how to make stuff happen.
Yeah, well, listen, no, so, I'm the kind of gal, I got to remember that. I'm going to write that down and remember it, because it's like I'm the kind of gal that, this is a joke, of course, that maybe I have too much testosterone. God made a little mistake with me. I'm very feminine looking, but it's like it's my way or the highway. I don't know. I never really had to be that flexible except at that job when they told me I had to be friendly. I had to develop friendships. I was with the company for 6.5 years until they moved. And it was come on, we were doing $60 million a month. I mean, give me a break. It's like, that's why I was hired at all these companies, because I didn't even have a college degree. But what I had was a background in business administration, and I had experience. And I did everything from HR to purchasing. I did it all because I'm a Catholic girl. I guess, I don't know. I mean, look, when you go to California and you have a parochial school degree, you graduated from parochial school, they want you. You know why? Because you have really most of the time, not all the time, but you have a great work ethic. And my father gave me that too. In addition to the strict upbringing that the church gives you, you also, you know, but then on the other hand, I can say it's like it's a dichotomy, because I also became, once I was let loose at 18 and went to Manhattan, I was like a rebel. I just like, okay, yeah, I learned how to listen to people and be agreeable because I'm a good actress. I've been in movies and documentaries too. So it's like I just would listen and go, oh, okay, well, like, okay, I'll work on it. I was always way too
right.
Frank.
You got to think. You got to think about it if you're driving down. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just way too frank. I would just say what I thought, like no filters. Once, because of all being held down, I went to totally the opposite way. But it did me justice because I've been very successful in business. In my business.
It's great.
But now I give it all away. For the past, since I came back, I give it all away. Because, you know, you have to give it back. It's what I believe in anyway.
Yeah.
So then we have 90 seconds left, and I have to promote my not-for-profits.
Do your thing. Yes.
An awesome show. I knew I was looking forward to, I've been through heck for the past 2.5 without an iPhone. So I was really so surprised and excited when this morning my phone was working. And I don't know why. I think I had to be so persistent. with a Apple.
Yeah.
Saying, this is ridiculous. Yes. I've been paying forever. You got to get my phone working. And they unlocked my phone. Like, they must have done it because I didn't. So thank you to my you know, to my God and to Apple for getting my iPhone operating correctly so I could do my radio show. Because my landline that I bought, it's still not working, and they have to send somebody over tomorrow to make it work. So I could not be a technician of any kind, even though I did it when I worked. I was always fixing,
well,
you know. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say thank you so much for having me. Oh, they cut you off? Uh-oh.
No, they won't. I said they won't cut me off. It's okay.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say thank you so much for having me on. And it was a pleasure getting to talk to you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, I should have had more questions, because when I have more questions, then I don't talk as much. But, you know, what can I say? It is a laid-back kind of show. And everybody, please go to Jennifer's Facebook page, because on that you can find all the information that you need. And also look at my promo again. It's on so many pages. I'm sure, I mean, I got great response to the promotion. So I'm really hoping that you see a lot more people at your at the market in Seabright and everywhere else.
Me too. Come to the Seabright Farmers Market Wednesdays 1 to 6.
Yeah, I love Seabright. I'm always there. Like I said, I even go in the wintertime, and I walk on the beach, and I really like it, and I have friends in Rumson, so I go up to see them, and then I'm there, right there. So, and it's peaceful. It's peaceful, easy feeling. Okay, thank you so much for being a guest on my show, and I look forward to meeting you, and I'll be in touch with you. I'll be in touch with you. I mean, like, I might change my mind. Who knows? You never know. I might go, oh, yeah, I got what I needed, and I will be ready for the 24th, or I won't be. But I'll let you know, but I'm definitely going to be involved.
Okay,
so
very good.
If you accept me, you'll have a new vendor.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Yeah, lots of love.
You
and
too.
Best always. Bye-bye now. Oh, and thank you, Beverly.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, bye-bye. Well, that was Jennifer Perkle, and I knew that I liked her when I talked to her on the phone. I don't always talk to my guests before my shows. A lot of times, I've even had Rock and Roll Hall of Famers send me an email, and they'll go, will you do a show for me? And I go, yes. And then I just do the show, and I don't ever get to talk to them before the show. That's why I say call in 5 minutes before, so I can talk to them and get a feel for them. And anyway, but this time I was referred to her, and I wanted to talk to her because of a personal referral. And I knew when I talked to her on the phone that she was a great gal. So without further ado, I want to go through my not-for-profits really fast, because it's because of them I started my radio show over 11 years ago. And I've been award-nominated radio show host for years in a row, and I really appreciate that. Even just being nominated is an honor. So here we go. Minister Steve Brigham, and he was the minister of Tent City. He also has a video out from years and years and years ago, 13 years ago when I met him, or no, I guess 11 years ago, or 12 years tops. I lose track of time at my age and a lot of other things too. But anyway, they bulldozed that down, but there's a great video out. There's two videos out, and the first one is Destiny's Bridge, and the second one you can just look up Minister Steve online and you'll find everything about him. And you can get in touch with him through Lakewood. He's the founder of Lakewood Outreach Community. Okay? All right. Art Ackerman. And he's on Facebook, and so is Minister Steve Brigham. It's just Steve Brigham. Art Ackerman is on Facebook, City of Angels Recovery Radio, and it's called C-O-A-R-R, and you can find him on Facebook as well. Fulfill, which is the food bank. It used to be called the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean County, but now it's called Fulfill. They're on Facebook. You can Google them. You can find them. You can find them and get in touch with them. You can help with your time, your talents, whatever it is that you can offer, volunteer work, whatever it is. I find that when I volunteer, and I love to do volunteer work, it always, like my show is our volunteer work. So it feels good to give back. Paul Ressler, he is the founder of Tupac, which is the overdose prevention agency. You can also find him on Facebook. Phil Richards, he's the director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. It's on Memorial Drive in Asbury Park. And by the way, they have an absolutely wonderful thrift shop. It's huge. And you can make donations to them. All you do Tuesday through Friday is drive up to their the side, and they have their gate open, the garage door open, and they'll come to your car and take it from you. And it's a wonderful organization. They do so much for people. Rima Simone, she's the founder of Rami's Heart. Now, Rami and Rima is a very good friend of mine, became a very good friend of mine, and I'm friends with all of these people that I promote, by the way. They have become my friends. Brother was only 40 years old when he died of COVID-19, and she started a memorial. Please go to her page, Rami's Heart. It's unbelievable what she has done. And she's got an installation now and a not-for-profit for COVID-19 people, survivors or whatever. And it's out at Allaire State Park, and it's really something to see. So please go to her Facebook page and find out all about Rima Simone. She's a great gal. Tim McClune, who is a restaurateur, many restaurants, and also the founder of Holiday Express. And Holiday Express, of course, they take shows at Christmas time and all of the holidays, and they go into hospitals, and they go into all of these different places and do free shows. So it's a traveling musicians, a local, wonderful, a lot of well-known local musicians from the area are members of this organization. And they, let's see, their locations are between Thanksgiving and Christmas time to create holiday event for over 24,000 special individuals. So that's it. I also want to say a thank you to my three. I do have sponsors, and we just barter a little bit for promotion. I give them promotion at the end of my show. And they are Dr. David Marin of the Wellness Center, and you can look him up. He's on Facebook as well. Just Google him, Dr. David Marin. I'm sorry, I said William. Dr. David Marin, the Marin Wellness Center. Dr. George Pett, he is a surgeon at the Surgery Center in West Orange, and you can find him as well. Just Google him. I had some situations with my nose that needed attention. I unfortunately did not have a facelift. Well, not maybe unfortunately. I probably wouldn't have the nerve to do that. And it's too expensive, so I'm not doing that. I'm just going to age gracefully. Okay, and my third one is Dr. Chicklin, and he is a dentist, and he does everything in dentistry, and he's on Sunset Avenue in Asbury Park, and you can find him as well. And those are my three. Let me see. I think there's one. Oh, yes. I want to mention one other person, and I use her as she's a friend and a spiritual advisor, and her name is Tina Beecher, and she is just an awesome person, and I just adore her, and she's in Philadelphia, but she's on Facebook and YouTube, and if you go and listen to her, she's just a wonderful person, and she does a lot of good works for people. So I want you to find out on your own, investigate Tina Beecher. She still has a Harley Davidson. She was a biker chick, and I love that about her. And I just, like I said, I want you to find out about her. Just like I like my guests to tell their own story. When I'm not talking, they get to. But I do talk a lot. With that said, I'm going to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful. But anyway, everyone, be well. Enjoy life. Laugh a lot. And I'm signing off till next show, because I don't know when my shows are going to be anymore. I'm doing less shows. And it is what it is. And I'm thinking about maybe doing a different type of a show. But you'll be informed. I have three Facebook pages, Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style and inside and outside the fabulous Grand Arcade. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, but not as active as I want to be, but I'm going to make that a priority. Bye, everybody. Be well. God bless.